Hi again, everybody. Welcome into the Vigilant Sports Pacers podcast. How about that, too, for an energetic intro to get things started? I like it. My thanks to DJ Bandcamp for contributing to the podcast. Please subscribe to the Vigilant Sports Pacers podcast on iTunes and tell your friends and leave a review. That would be a big time help. Well, this week I have a great show in store for you. Two mega guests. I'll talk with Pacers Sports and Entertainment President Rick Fuson. The Pacers are taking a hard look at hosting an upcoming NBA All-Star Weekend, and so we'll take a deep dive into that. Then I'll be talking with one of the top five women's basketball players ever, Tamika Catchings. After playing at the University of Tennessee, she's played her entire professional career right here with the Indiana Fever. In this upcoming season, it will be her final one. She's had a very busy month that included marriage, participating in All-Star Weekend herself, USA Basketball Training Camp, plus she has a book coming out. We'll discuss all of it here today on the podcast. First up is Rick Fuson, the longtime Pacers employee going back to the mid-1980s, and he's been in his current role for more than 17 months. Fuson and a half dozen other Indy execs, including two from Visit Indy and two more from Indiana Sports Corp, they traveled to Toronto last month for the 2016 NBA All-Star Game. Indy considered making a bid for an upcoming All-Star Game a couple years ago, but this is the most serious that they have been about holding All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis. It's been in Indy once, back in 1985. The game was held at the Hoosier Dome, and All-Star Saturday events were held at Market Square Arena. One thing we know is that Indy does events better than anyone. The volunteer base is outstanding, and there's great leadership that it would ensure that this city would do an exceptional job. I hope they go for it, as would the NBA. That's one of the reasons they've taken a deep look at it. So I talked with Fuson about Indy's interest, what he learned from visiting All-Star Weekend, plus we talk about how busy the field house is over the next month and a half, breaking ground on the St. Vincent Center, and how things are going on the business side. Let's get into it. All right, Rick, a lot has come to light over the last few weeks about the Pacers and about Indianapolis' desire to host an NBA All-Star game. Curious, what sparked that? Was it owner Herb Simon? Was it maybe one of your goals as you took over as president of Pacers Sports and Entertainment? What sparked the conversation for Indianapolis to host the All-Star game yet again?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that have gone into that. Obviously, we had it in 1985, and over the years, we've looked at it from time to time. We looked at it pretty seriously a couple years ago. But I think a couple things happened. One, I think Herb said, hey, you know, let's really think about getting involved with it again. And then the commissioner, when he was here for one of the games this year, was asked the question and said, yeah, you know, Indianapolis is a great city and has a lot of events, and so it might be another good city for us to consider to have the NBA All-Star Game. And as we look down at the schedule and we look at some things in maybe 19 or 20, maybe we would have looked at 18, but I think that's going to be in another city the way I see it now. We said, okay, maybe it'd be the right time to do it. In 19, for instance, we have the Big Ten women's, but we don't have Big Ten men's that year, and we don't have an NCAA Final Four women's like we do this year, or an NCAA men's Final Four. So maybe that's the kind of year. So we just decided that maybe we ought to start looking at it seriously. And so when we got the group together from Sports Corp and Visit Indy and went up there, I wanted everybody to see it for themselves, see all the things that go on, how big it was, and then we can make a collective decision in the city whether or not we want to really push this thing for the future.
For you guys to put in a bid, do you essentially need the entire city and its venues wide open because of all of the demands?
Well, there are certainly a lot of events that go on, and it's bigger exponentially than it was in 1985. And so it takes a lot of hotel rooms. It will take the majority of the downtown hotel rooms. It would take much of the convention center space. It'd certainly take this building, and it would take a lot of other venues. While it's not as large as the Super Bowl is by any means, it's very, very large, and it takes a lot of space for all the ancillary things that go on. So our downtown will be a busy place if we're so fortunate to get it.
I know I've asked you about Indy hosting an All-Star game so many years. You can go back maybe about 10 back to IU when you came and spoke to our class, and you said the biggest thing with hosting it, the issue, is you can't please season ticklers and sponsors. So how have you guys kind of moved past that issue?
Well, it's important. We're always thinking that, so we haven't ever moved past it, and we'll never move past it. Our season ticket holders and our sponsors are our lifeblood. And so we have to continue to look at the importance of making sure that the event is good for them as well. Who knows? You know, by 19, what the space needs will be, how big a crowd we might be able to have. But we have great venues in downtown. So, and remember, we did the game in 1985 in front of 44,000 people or so. You know, at the Dome at that point. So, I think we'll all get together, make the right collective decision, and make sure at the same time that our great season ticket holders and our great sponsors get the best out of it as well.
I assume you're not yet there yet, whether it's, say, the game at Lucas Oil like Dallas once did, and then All-Star Saturday at Bankers Life. All that's probably a little premature, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely so. I think we'll all have to get together. And, you know, we want this to be a collective decision, just not the Pacers saying, hey, we're going to do this thing. So, we need everybody. This has got to be a collective decision. And that's one of the great things about our city with Sports Corporation, with Visit Indy, with the mayor's office, with the governor's offices, with all the groups that are important to the economic development of our city and our state, to look at this thing together and say, hey, is the economic impact, which some people would say maybe is between $70 to $100 million, maybe more, is that worth what we're doing here? I assume to think it is. I think there will be a lot of people who think it is, but I think there'll be some collective decisions made in the next few months on how we would go about this thing.
I was going to hit on that and how much of an impact economically an All-Star game would have on this city. If you know off the top of your head, how would that compare to, say, a Big Ten football title game or the Big Ten men's basketball tournament that's going to be here coming up?
Well, all those events are significant, certainly because not only because of the economic impact that they bring, but also in terms of the Big Ten. The Big Ten football, the Big Ten basketball championships, those folks who are coming to that event are right in our wheelhouse in terms of our region. Getting a little stretched out now with going to Maryland and Rutgers and maybe even to Nebraska, but you know, the Iowa and Michigan teams and the Illinois teams and the Ohio teams, those really are right in our wheelhouse related to economic development, because those people not only will come for a Big Ten, but because they see what goes on in Indianapolis, they'll come back for a weekend with their family or a family reunion here that might be in the crossroads of America. So it has a very positive economic impact and also a residual impact. The NBA All-Star Game has a huge international economic impact because of the numbers of media people that come in from all over the world. Obviously, the NBA being a global game, growing all the time. So it's a little bit different, but all of those things are huge economic impact for our city.
Yeah, I was going to mention the media too. I think it was the game itself was broadcasted, I want to say, in maybe 45 countries and territories.
Yeah.
So that in itself is another thing that's a positive.
Yeah. There's no question about it. You know, when we look at events in our town, as we have through Sports Corp and Visit Indy for years, not only do we look at the direct economic impact, but the impact of what the media, you know, is it, how many hours is it on television? How many hours is it on the radio? How many newspapers is Indianapolis mentioned in? You know, you can't buy that kind of advertising for your city. And as Indianapolis continues to become more global with direct flights to San Francisco now and to L.A. and to hopefully one of these days overseas, the economic impact will continue to grow. And it'll be because people will know about Indianapolis because they saw us on television, whether it be the NCAA Final Four or the NBA games or the Big Ten basketball games or whether it's the golf event will be back in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis 500. All those things play an important role in terms of furthering the reputation of our city.
And this city just does big events so well. I mean, number one, the Super Bowl, Indy 500, then the usuals of the Big Ten tournament, football title game. That's a big appeal.
Yeah, we do them consistently. You know, I've been working for the Pacers for 32 years and had a great opportunity to be a lot of major events in town, from a sports festival and the Pan Am Games and World Swimming and World Basketball and NCAA Final Fours and on and on and on, and we have the greatest volunteer base. I think we have the greatest downtown, bar none. We have a trained group of folks in different generations who can put these events on better than anybody else, and I think we're known for that. But not everybody still knows us. We still have got work to do with folks around the country who haven't been to Indianapolis for a long time, or they don't know much about Indianapolis. They see us on television, but we still have a little bit of sales things we got to do with them as well.
Rick, you've been with the Pacers so long. I think one of your first gigs was to work on the All-Star game. What do you remember about that whole experience, and what exactly was your role?
Oh, well, my role, I was hired at that point by the president of the Pacers by the name of Bob Salyers. And I worked with Carolyn Blitz, who worked for the Commission for Downtown at that point. And I was kind of the Pacers' point person, and she was the city's point person, and we together worked on putting it together. I mean, we did all kind of things. We did the All-Star Sports Health and Fitness Show. The new All-Star game was kind of in its infancy. I think it started pretty big the year before that in Dallas. But we certainly did 40,000 people plus at the Dome for the event. We did the big fitness show. We did All-Star Saturday at Market Square. We had a big party on Friday night. There was a TNT party after the game. But that was pretty much the extent of it. The sponsorship business wasn't even close to as big. There weren't as many ancillary events going on. And so it was a big event for us at the point, but it's nothing like it is today. Probably my biggest thing I remember, and the thing that scared me the most is that we got about 6 inches of snow, as I remember, the Saturday night before the game on Sunday.
Oh, man.
We were afraid that Indianapolis was going to be shut down, but I tell you what, the city did a great job in terms of getting the city open, and all the people came, and we had a great event, and the pictures of it still hang around, so it was a tremendous opportunity.
You and about a half dozen others had the chance to go to the latest All-Star game across the border in Toronto. What specifically was this group looking for, and what was your biggest takeaway for the entire event? Was it perhaps, oh, we can do this?
Yeah, I think we always kind of look at it that way. I remember going one time with Dale Neuberger, who was the head of the Sports Corp, and Tom Rutledge, who I work with here at the arena, and we were in China, Taiwan, I think it was, and we saw the World Swimming Championship in a building there. We said, that's no big deal. We can do that. We ended up doing it.
That's still amazing. You guys had a swimming pool in the middle of Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Yeah, we built actually two 25-meter pools. One was a training facility undercover on the far north end where the stage is in our building, and then we had the competition pool. It was really a world record pool, but it's that kind of thing. You go see them, said, yep, we could do that. Maybe we didn't know how to do it, but we figured it out. And I think we had a very experienced group who was in Toronto with Mel Raines, who works for us here as our head of the facilities, who worked on the Super Bowl, was worked on 5 Republican National Conventions. Susie Townsend, who's worked with Visit Indy for 25 years, who is probably the best in terms of dealing with hotels and clients, and Leonard Hoops, who's got a multi decade career in the visitor business, and Susan Boffman, who's done many many events here, including Super Bowl and NCAA events, and then of course Ryan Vaughn, who understands the governmental nature, the president of Sports Corp, who understands the governmental nature of these things, the economic impact. So we had a very experienced group go up there. Really, what we wanted to do was see it all. We wanted to see how another city did it. We wanted to see how expansive the NBA, all the NBA events were, see how well it was connected to, through transportation, through hotels, through hospitality, through the security, and all those things. So we were able, over the days we were there, to get a feel for all of it. And that's going to allow us to put a more complete, a better understood bid in when and if we decide to bid it.
When you were up there, was it kind of attack everything together, or you guys break off in branches and attack it on your own?
We did some things together, but we did many things separately. Some people went and talked to the hotel people related to what the NBA needs are. Others went to the venue and looked at the back of the house from the venue. Others went and did the transportation thing and security thing. So we were divide and conquer, and then did some of the things together as well.
Hotels not an issue as far as Indy goes.
Plenty. Well, I don't believe so. We have the number of hotels downtown that we need. There is a little bit of a a difference between the way that we classify hotels versus the way some other people classify hotels. But I feel, and I think we were able to talk to the NBA about it, where I think we can meet their needs, yes.
Last thing when it comes to the All-Stars, if you guys do plan to go ahead with a bid, do you know the time frame of when that needs to be
due? I think it'll be sometime late spring, early summer, be my guess.
Okay.
Don't know for sure. We haven't gotten the specs yet from the league. But I'm expecting them sometime in the spring or early summer.
Your building's awfully busy coming up here. 54 games in 43 days. Going to have all kinds of champions, 5 titles given out over the next 6 weekends. That's exciting and fun, but it's also a heck of a lot of work for you guys over there, right?
Yeah, it is very exciting. You know, I mean, to have that many basketball games with that many championships at all kind of different levels is just a great credit to Indianapolis and a great credit to the basketball psyche of all the folks that live in this town and in this state. It really is, in my opinion, this next 43 days is really about Hickory. You know, at all different levels, and about team and about championships, and it's tremendous. It's a lot of work. I think we're going to change the court over 16 times, and we have in the meantime that you start with WWE and don't even count that one, but and then you've got a couple 3 concerts in between, and many other events that are going on a daily basis, and it's a lot of work, but that's the business we're in. You know, this is the people's building. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help bring in economic impact and bring in food and beverage and bring the people to downtown from all over the state and all around the region, all around the country. And our folks have done a great job of that. And hopefully they'll all be smiling on the 54th basketball game just like they were on the first one.
And the Hickory idea, you brought that up, has just been terrific. It's a 5-year deal, so it's not going away anytime soon. Have you been pleased with the development of that?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, to be able to recognize the team sport of basketball in the state of Indiana, understanding that they called the movie Hoosiers, they didn't call it Illini or Kentuckians or North Carolinians or whatever else. It's about Indiana. It's about the spirit of Indiana, about the spirit of basketball and team sports in Indiana. It's not about any one team. But to be able to honor Oscar Robertson and the Crispus Attucks, 3 teams that won state championships, to be able to you know, honor the first basketball game in Indiana, and to honor Coach Butcher, and to be able to honor all those folks in our history and who have been played a great part in our game. It's been tremendous, and you know, people love it. I was just recently given a talk to some folks, many of them from Indiana, many of them not from Indiana, but not a person in the room didn't know about what the spirit of team basketball was represented by Hickory, and certainly the Milan team and the Crispus Attucks teams and so many other teams who have played such an important role in our history are well known around the world. And we just thought it was a nice way to talk about Indiana's game by Indiana's team. And it's been great, and we see a lot of merchandise being purchased. And
Nelson likes that.
Gary Nelson loves it tremendously. So I think it's been a fun way to pay homage and tribute to some great teams and great players and the great spirit of Indiana basketball.
It's one thing to introduce the idea; it's another thing to execute it well. And I think you guys have done that very well. I want to turn the attention now to the St. Vincent Center, another new and exciting thing going on with you guys right there to the east of Bankers Life Fieldhouse, a $50 million facility you recently broke ground on. Where do you think this asset will help the franchise the most moving forward?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. It's an asset. And I think Larry Bird has said it a number of times. Our job is to develop basketball players. And to make sure that we have all of the necessary things in this fast, strong league that we have, to make sure that our players are taken care of correctly medically, to have the right training facilities, to be able to compete on the open market. And I'm no basketball guy by any means. Never want anybody to think that. But I think it gives us another cog in the competitive wheel of NBA basketball to say, hey, here's what we got. We are state of the art. You know, we've got the best arena. We got the best training facility. We've got some of the best medical people in the world right here in Indianapolis. And for St. Vincent to come down and be part of that with their sports performance, and Ralph Reif, who runs internationally known sports performance, and for Jonathan Nally, their CEO, to come back down in downtown Indianapolis with cardiology and other medical services, I think it's going to be a tremendous thing, not only for us, but I think it's going to be a great thing for downtown.
The big question is, where's your office in this new one? For those that don't know, your office looks over the practice court, has a terrific view. Will you have that kind of opportunity again?
I think for the rest of my career here, I think I'll keep looking over the practice court here. Which, yeah. By opening this training facility, it also allows us to do a lot more things inside the space inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse. With the two teams, with the Fever and the Pacers, we're always having to split it up, and then we also have a number of marketing needs that we can use our practice court for, because it's aside from the bowl and the entry pavilion, it really, the practice court is the TCU practice court here is the biggest space, open space we have. So it's going to allow us to do a lot more things when the men are across the street practicing and the ladies practice here, but then we can use it for other events as well. But I kind of like the window I got over this practice court that I can see outside as well.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I love the view there. A couple other things I want to hit on quickly. Overall, how have you been pleased as far as ticket sales and sponsorship have come in terms of the Pacers for this year?
I think we continue to do very well. We'd always like to see a full house, and not every game is full. But we understand, that somebody can't come on a Monday night, maybe, but they can come on a Friday night. Like somebody can come on a Wednesday, but can't come on a Sunday. But we'd like to see it full. We think our guys are a great bunch of guys. We think they obviously got off to a fast start. They've had some great games in the last few days after the All-Star game. Got dinged a little bit down at Miami, but hey, had a last-second shot to beat Oklahoma City and then to win in Orlando. I think hopefully folks now that we're kicking into around March Madness, we're getting less 20 some odd games, they'll come out and watch us play. So we're very pleased. We'd like to see every game filled, and we hopefully will. Sponsorship wise, we are so grateful for all the sponsors that we have. We rank pretty high in the league in terms of our sponsorship, and have some great sponsors with CNO and the Bank Life folks and St. Vincent and Finish Line and on Pepsi and on down the line. The state of Indiana relates to IEDC, and so many folks have supported this team, and it's tremendous. And our continued television broadcasts help with our sponsorship thing. Our radio is strong.
Good.
And so it continues very good, very positive.
Tamika Catchings, it's her final season. How important, you can't even speak to how important she's been to this franchise, but what do you expect this summer, this final year, to be like for this franchise and Tamika together?
Well, I think Tamika Catchings is a godsend. I think she represents basketball from her heart, her mind, and her talent. She's a giving woman. She cares about the community. She cares about kids. She wants to win. She wants to win for Indianapolis. Her home's here. We will miss her. We will miss her tremendously on the basketball court. But I'm very hopeful that she will be a resident and a participant in our city the rest of her life. And we're going to do everything that we can to help her be part of that. She represents all the good things in life, in my opinion, that you would want your kids to be, that you would want your kids down the street to be, and you would want yourself to be.
Yeah, I've never met a better person than Tamika.
She's an amazing human being.
Anything new, noteworthy, that Pacer fans should know about that you want to pass along?
Well, hopefully they'll see all the new concession stuff we continue to get. We're going to be doing some renovations this summer with some things down in the locker room restaurant downstairs and some different offerings down in our south part of our bowl. They'll see some new concessions up on the club level, and we'll continue to keep it to be the best arena any place. And so they can say to all their friends, hey, I went to the best place and saw the Pacers win last night.
That's absolutely true. Rick, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me on the podcast.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Good to chat with Rick Fuson there. I'm glad we were able to get it done and have this conversation for all of you to listen to as well. There was a lot of interesting nuggets coming from him, including that hosting NBA All-Star Weekend could have a potential economic impact of $70 to $100 million, plus all the media coverage. Here's a couple of numbers for you about what's going on at Bankers Life Fieldhouse over the current 43-day stretch. In this time, the Fieldhouse will host 54 games of all different levels, spanning from middle school all the way to professionals. They'll hand out titles in 5 of the 6 weekends. And how about this note? Over the last 6 days, the crew has changed the court every single night. Follow me on Twitter if you haven't already, at Scott Agnes, and it is there where you can leave me your feedback and questions that I will happily answer. Next up is Tamika Catchings. She's now married, and her autobiography dropped in stores on March 1st. Here's my interview with Catchings, who undoubtedly would be on the Mount Rushmore of sports figures in this town.
Pleased to be joined now by Tamika Catchings as she's getting set for her final season with the Indiana Fever, with the Olympics, USA Basketball, but it's kind of been a whirlwind here for the last month or so for you. You got married, then you did the All-Star Game, then you literally just got back from USA Basketball Camp, doing some media interviews, you got a book coming out. What has this whole experience been like for you?
It's been fun, you know, there's a lot going on right now, kind of a whirlwind, and everybody's like, how do you keep up with everything? I'm like, my calendar. If it's not on the calendar, it's not getting done, but I'm excited. You know, Scott, this is kind of like the last hurrah, and as far as on the court, you know, starting to transition off the court is just kind of like setting up those steps, and so that's really what I've been focusing on.
Let's get started first a little personal with the wedding and all that here in Indianapolis. What was that whole experience like for you and your close family?
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. You know, just like I just feel like since we met, you know, Parnell and I, and just kind of like what we've been going through as far as just creating memories and looking at our future and having a family and all that. So the wedding was great. I mean, it was his family, his immediate family, my immediate family, the photographer, the guy that introduced us, Ryan, and you know, he actually sings, so he sang at the wedding. It was just very, very romantic, very close. And for my family and those that know me, you guys know I like to joke around a lot. So it was very, while it was still like tense, it was also kind of loose.
How did you two meet?
We met one of our mutual friends. So and he was living in L.A. And Ryan McDaniel, who I actually met a few years ago here, during the Super Bowl weekend is when I met Ryan. Okay. And so we kind of like become really good friends. And he moved out to L.A. to pursue a singing career. And Parnell actually got transferred out to L.A. With Windstream Communication. And so we came out L.A. 2 years ago and invited Ryan to the game. He's like, hey, I'm going to bring one of my guys with me. I'm like, okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. And you know how I am. Yep. Normally, after a loss, I'm not really trying to go hang out. But I was kind of like, suck it up, Tamika. You'll have a good time. We only go to L.A. once, so, you know, got to just do it. And so we all went out, and literally the next day, Ryan hit me, and I think he hit Parnell, too. He's like, oh, man, my guy really likes you, and he thought you were real cool, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, he didn't even really talk to me.
But a little nervous, maybe, a little shy.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe we just kind of get the whole Tamika, whoever that is. But, yeah, so we hit it off really well. The first text that he sent me was a picture of my BlackBerry, right? A picture of an iPhone beating up a BlackBerry, and the BlackBerry is like screaming, anything but the keyboard.
Yep.
So I started laughing like that, and you know, we went back and forth texting about the picture, and I was just like, leave my BlackBerry alone. But it was good. It was a good conversation starter, and then from there, I mean, literally we have talked every single day.
And it'll be even more meaningful that he'll be kind of with you on this final journey of your professional career.
Yeah, and that was really important to me. Even last year we talked about, okay, setting a date for when we were going to get married and all of that. And initially we were looking at March, April. And then you know, kind of like what I've talked about before, we don't live together, and so it's kind of like even when we travel and go on the road, like we have to get separate rooms and, you know, all of that. So looking at all of the different events that were coming up, I was just kind of like, okay, here's the option. We can wait till March, April, and you don't do anything. You know, you can't come to All-Star Weekend, can't do any of the other events that I have in between that time, or we figure out a date to get married before All-Star Weekend, and then we can kind of, you know, go anywhere. And so that's really why we chose earlier date than a later date. But then, yeah, like going into the season and knowing that he'll be there, and the plan is that he'll be at every single post-game party. That's my plan anyway. Mm-hmm. I would love to have him there. And, you know, just being able to share my last year with the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with.
How can you fit in a honeymoon with such a busy schedule here? Yeah, is that wait for after USA basketball in the WNBA season?
Yes, we'll wait. We're going to wait until after. And really, even with that, I just told him, I said, look, I'm so in workout mode right now that even to go on a honeymoon, I would wake up at 6 o'clock and be like, okay, I got to go run the beach.
And she's not joking. She would.
I got to go work out. So I said, let's just wait until I don't have to wake up and I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do anything. If I want to work out, I can work out. If I don't, I don't have to, you know.
And you've talked a lot. You do want to start a family, right?
I do. Yeah. I do. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, finishing the season strong, going to the Olympics, you know, trying to win another gold medal, and then obviously come back, try to win another WNBA championship, and then kind of fade into the sunset.
What's USA basketball camp like when the elite of the elite of USA basketball gets together?
It's fun. It really is. It's weird because it's like you wait, I'm waiting for camp, and then it's like camp gets here and then it goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. So literally, like, I feel like we got there, we got three great days, a lot of work that went into everything, but it's fun to play with players that you know you'll never get a chance to play with other than mm-hmm. those opportunities that and the All-Star weekend. So, you know, getting to know players off the court is probably the best part of it. I mean, we spend a lot of time on the court, but you spend even more time off the court through the meals and the meetings and joking around and, you know, all of that. So that's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I was curious how much time you truly spend off all the dinners. You guys obviously would have to fly together. I think it was out east in Connecticut. Is that where this mm-hmm. one was?
Yeah, so I actually flew up with Kayla McBride. Flew up with Kayla McBride, and then we all met there. So everybody, we even had players that came in from overseas that had a little break. So so a lot of them did the camp and went back overseas. Don't miss those days at all.
That'd be rough.
Oh, yeah. So, but you know what? We, what was it, Sunday night, we had dinner over at Gino's. His wife and him hosted the whole team and all of the people that came with us. So It was definitely like a good time of just kind of hanging out, and you know, Nike had some stuff for us to do up there. USA Ball obviously had a lot of stuff for us to do, so it was kind of like we were there for 3 days. But even now, thinking about it, it's like we were there for 3 days and so much happened.
That in itself flies by, right?
It does.
Your Tennessee product. What's it like having Gino Auriemma and being up in Connecticut at his house? Is it you still get that volunteer frame of mind that I can't like you?
No, it's different. It is different. And then, you know, they just did their, they have a new facility up there, which was absolutely gorgeous. so it's different from the standpoint of UConn, you know, and like even their practice guys and some of the girls wanted some UConn gear. And I was like, oh, no, you won't find me. I can't wear that. Nope. But it's all in fun.
You got a new book coming out March 1st. When did you first begin the process of, hey, one, I want to start a book, and two, how long did it take you to kind of complete the whole process?
Well, we came out with a book, Dreams Are for Catching, which is more like geared toward middle school.
I have it.
Yeah. So that was, what, like five or six years ago. It's been a while. And from that, I've always said, like, eventually I want to do a book that's more for adults, but until we get there. So this has been a three-year process. Literally, we have been focusing on what do we need to do to try to get this to kind of get out and in the open. So March 1st is finally here, Catch a Star. Really excited about it. It's my journey from a little girl to where I am now, and talked a lot about all my experiences. And you know, I'm a very faith-oriented person, so my faith is intertwined in pretty much every aspect of my life.
I know we've talked in the couple years ago about even like a book just about your workouts. Do you see this being your first of many, perhaps?
Yeah, it will be. You know, we've actually came up with some other ideas of different things that we're, you know, potentially doing. But writing a book is a lot of work. It is. And just making sure, you know, the story and everything that you want to put in it. So there will be some others. How soon that comes, I don't know. But, you know, definitely some works in the future.
Leading up to your final season with the Fever and the WNBA and all that, have you talked with any other professional athletes? Kobe obviously comes to mind with your long-term relationship about things you want to be sure to do or not to do and other things like that. Have you had any conversations with anyone?
Not Kobe. Well, he's kind of living the moment. That's what I don't want to fall into is, like, while I'm living the moment, people are already, like, talking about, like, okay, now I know you're going through it now, but what do you think about the future?
Yeah. And the difference with you is you're still near your top of your game. You know, you really are. In the postseason last year, I mean, you aren't what you were. That's age. But Kobe's kind of embarrassing. I'll say you don't have to. I'll say it. The Love Fest to me has been annoying, and you're going to be doing something different, which I like.
Yeah, so one thing that we want to focus is get the focus off of me. I've asked every team, like, in lieu of doing gifts and all that, really want donations made to the foundation. We've been doing our post-game party, our post-game fundraiser party. Shoot, I think we've been doing it now for about 13 years, 12 or 13 years, and really putting together a party where where our fans, where my fans can come, and we do auction items, I speak, Q&A, we have the other team come through. So, like, that is more of my spiel and what I want to do. So, as far as, like, players that I've talked to, I have talked to some of the older vets that have kind of been there, done that, got to spend a lot of time with Jalen, you know, a few weeks ago in Memphis, and even talked to him about his experience and his journey, talked to Chauncey Billups, I ran into him in the airport. So a lot of different players, just like, okay, now what? You know, like, how did you get to that point of knowing that you wanted to move on, and then, like, you know, just what were your different avenues? Helen Darling I talked to from the W, you know, even some other players. So I will continue to do that because, you know, for me, I'm not nervous about the next step. I think I'm more anxious as far as, like, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, like, there's so many plans and there's so many things that I want to do. And, like, oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do that. But, you know, like, how do you put, like, this is what I'm going to do? And you can't really do that.
Typically, your schedule's kind of laid out. You have basketball, and when you're not doing basketball, you're training for it 5 days a week or what have you. Have you had to trim that down a little bit here at the end of your career?
As far as the workouts go?
Daily workouts here, like right now, your daily workouts, because you were going at it 5 days a week.
Yeah. And I still kind of do. My schedule's a lot different right now just because I'm traveling so much and there's so much going on. So, you know, for me, it has become more of, I work out, I get my workouts in, but even like I do different types of workouts because some of them are in hotels, some of them, you know, I'm over in this city, I'm over in that city. So I'm just trying to figure that all out.
During this legacy project, you'll be giving away $2,000 to each of those different cities. How will you come to a decision of where to give that money to?
Well, what our hopes is and what we've talked to the team is trying to find a community partner that they're already working with that they feel has gone over and beyond. Because I think, and that fits Catch the Stars, our mission, fitness, literacy, and mentoring. But I think that, you know, the best way to make a legacy and to leave a legacy is by creating partnership, right? Mm-hmm. So for us, you know, we're creating partnership basically with each individual team. And going into their city, we want to do a post-game party. I know I don't play for your team, but how can we make this a win-win for everybody? And so really trying to put the onus on them to an extent on finding a community partner that you feel is deserving of a $2,000 grant. We're working on some other things with that project as well, with the farewell tour. So that one part of the legacy piece, we're still kind of in the mix with some other things that will be happening, but it's going to be a great year.
What I like is it's more than a legacy of your name when it comes to basketball. I mean, here locally, an IPS school has a basketball court in your name outside, the Catch the Stars Foundation. So you're following kind of what Pacer Sports and Entertainment does, winning on the court and then serving the community.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the most important piece. Basketball only lasts for so long. You do this, and I mean, this, thank God, has been my 15th year, but after that, somebody else is going to come to the forefront next year, and in upcoming years, somebody else is going to be there. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what you're able to accomplish off the court, and you think of all the great things that you change lives, and this is something that beyond the basketball court, the kid will remember for the rest of their lives.
Coming up also on March 1st, you'll launch a brand new website. Now you'll have TamikaCatchings.com. What can people expect there? And then explain your new Nike shoe deal that you'll be going on.
Yeah, well, so it has been Catchings24.com. And as we kind of transitioned from on the court to off the court, yeah, I wanted to find something that was simpler, which what can be more simpler than your real name. So we're going with TamikaCatchings.com. So basically we're just going to move over Catching24.com to TamikaCatchings.com. The legacy piece is going to be at the forefront of that. What we wanted to do was try to find something like, how do you get the fans more interactive? And that's where we came up. I've been in discussions with my Nike rep as far as, hey, like, I really want to do something that will get the fans more interactive. I know we can do different shoes and we can use the Nike ID. Mm-hmm. So it's not in conjunction with Nike at all. It really is what they'll do. Fans will come to the website. We've worked with an outside source to get the rules all. Everything's legit.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to make sure I don't want anybody trying to come back and get me. But we got an outside source to do all of that, the contest rules. But people will log on to NikeID.com. There's specific directions underneath TamikaCatchings.com where they'll design a shoe. And I'll pick 12 shoes and wear them. So I get to pick which 12 I like, and I get to pick when I want to wear them, which game I want to wear them. But, you know, we will honor the people that come up with the best idea, and we'll post pictures and all of that good stuff. They'll get something on the back end. So we're kind of figuring all of that out. But the fun thing, I think, is just more fan interaction as far as, okay, like, I picked these shoes, and these are the shoes that I'm going
to
wear.
Yeah, and you want others to share in this whole final year.
Part of the legacy, you know, it's part of building the legacy, and it's part of getting more people on board with not only myself as far as my brand, but with the WNBA as a whole, and making it more interesting, like, as far as what ideas work, what ideas don't work. And I think that this will be a cool idea, and a lot of people will get behind it.
I know you've gone back and forth about what you want to do post-career. It's probably over the top right now just because you have so much going on. Have you kind of settled yet, or do you think that's going to continue to be an ongoing process? Because you also interned in the NBA office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did the internship a couple weeks ago, really. And I think the big thing for me, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out, okay, what things do I know I don't like to do? You know, I love to play the game of basketball. But as far as sitting and watching game after game after game, that's not really my speed. So with that, you know, being a general manager, that's been something I've talked about for so long. But now I'm like, is that really what I want to do? I love the player development side. So I love trying to help players become professional in all aspects. And so, like, that really intrigued me, and something that I'm like, you know, maybe that's what I kind of go for more, rather than trying to go more to the GM and all of that. So I think, if anything, being up and doing the internship, it kind of confused me in a good way, because there's so many things that go on that I love. And then, like, the marketing side, I love that part. You know, player development, absolutely love that. I'm super passionate about that. And one thing that I've stressed is, I don't want to just be on the WNBA side. I want to be WNBA, NBA, D-League, and USA Basketball, because those are the four umbrellas that fall underneath the NBA family.
That's terrific, and you still have plenty of time to figure all of that out, right? Well, congratulations on all of your success, and we look forward to tracking you in your final year on the hardwood. Thanks again, Ketch.
Thanks, Scott.
That'll wrap this week's podcast. Shout-outs for this week go to Indy for looking into hosting an All-Star game. I know it was here in 1985. I know season ticket holders and sponsors won't exactly be pleased with it, because that is one of the big issues. They don't get great access, if any, to the game in All-Star weekend. But this would be cool. This would be special for Indy, and all the coverage and the economic impact. I am all for it. Also, a shout-out to Pacers big man Lavoy Allen. Last week, he treated a group of single mothers to a night out. They went into the salon, got mani pedis. They went to dinner downtown, and then they were also all given a $100 gift card to Kroger. Also, to Tamika Catchings for publishing her autobiography. I can't wait to dive into my copy. Subscribe to the Vigilant Sports Pacers podcast on iTunes if you haven't done so already. This is the easiest and quickest way to listen to our latest episodes. Have a great week, everyone.